healing school yesterday. People came from all over. I mean, you know, we had people. It's amazing, you know, how, you know, I think about, I just don't understand what God has given me. I stand humbled in His presence. When that lady yesterday came up with her son toward the end, I said, I hadn't opened before for testimonies, and I said, I guess right now I need to ask if anybody wants to give a testimony. And this lady immediately jumped up and come up with her son and told us what had happened to his back. He was 18 years old and how he had damaged it and hurt it and how they'd been listening to my teachings. And so immediately they came to prayer. In other words, this is something the church is going to have to learn in these last days for sure. Instead of running to the doctors, we're going to have to run to Jesus. And so they went to Jesus with all the knowledge they had. And they prayed. And he got better. And said for a week, things went long, but he was still in pretty serious pain. So said they brought him to me. I prayed the prayer of faith for him, and the next day he was playing basketball. Is God awesome? Is he good or is he good? I mean, he's so good. I'm telling you, I don't understand this. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't understand the levels of faith that God sees. You know, I don't understand that. But I know that when you have little faith, you can get little things done. When you have a little more faith, you can get more things done. And when you have great faith, you can get great things done. But in the days that are coming, I'm going to tell you, I am so convinced that we are so close to the most intensive war we have ever fought, both in the spirit and in the flesh. The devil is intensifying his war against us. I mean, even myself, you know, I've had a tremendous attack from the devil in the last week in my flesh. You know, I haven't had this in years, so this ought to tell you something. But I've had a tremendous attack from the enemy, you know, I mean, starting last week. I mean, of course, one of the greatest miracles that I saw, you know, when I prayed for that doctor out there in Salt Lake and saw him instantly healed of 3 crushed pelvics. That's what you called, at least to me, that's a pretty significant answer from God. When you see... What?
You said pelvic, vertebrae.
Vertebrae. 3 crushed vertebrae, and about one of them was completely gone. It was what, nothing left. But that just goes to show what God can do if we'll just believe Him. Now, you have to have great faith to get to that point. And I'm grateful that God's given me that faith. But after that, I came under severe demonic attack. Severe demonic attack. Well, let me tell you, the devil is out there if you haven't noticed it. He's there, and he's attacking us every way, form, or fashion. And even when you have great faith, he still will attack you. And he did me. In fact, his attack, I didn't really understand how it was coming about, because when we came back from out there on Wednesday, well, Friday night was my first attack from the enemy. He waited till I went to bed. And then he began to depress me and oppress me and everything. He began to put pressure on me. I couldn't sleep. I didn't understand why I couldn't sleep. You know, I mean, I was tossing and turning and everything else, but I could not sleep. And then when I woke up Saturday morning, I had a week ago, I had a tremendous heavy pressure on my head, a thud, dull. And, well, I mean, by this time I'm rebuking the devil and everything else and... asking the Lord to send His warring angels to protect me, because I know I don't have to pray for healing. I mean, God give that to me as a Christian. That's mine. You know, all I got to do is learn how to turn it on and walk in love and holiness and obedience to His word and faith, and then that's just automatically mine, healing. So I knew that healing was mine, and I really knew that I didn't have to pray for healing, because when these words, by His stripes you were healed, when that really, really becomes a revelation to you, you won't never need nobody to pray for you for healing again. Because it's yours. You know it's yours. But you will have to have knowledge of how to overcome the enemy, and you may have to have other warriors to help you to overcome the enemy. So Cheryl and I fought the battle Saturday, and she prayed with me, and we rebuked the devil and all those kind of things. And by Saturday afternoon, by 4 o'clock, I was okay. You know, in fact, she left. She went over to Minister Center to put orders together and everything about 2 o'clock, I think. And she left me, and by 4 o'clock, I wasn't there. And she got to thinking, well, I wonder if he's okay. I wonder if I need to go back over there and check on him. I wonder what. You know, and then the devil, I'm sure, began to put all kinds of thoughts in her mind. What if he dies over there?
That's okay. You'll be in heaven.
Yeah. But see, I ain't ready to go to heaven yet. I know what heaven's going to be like, and there ain't no war to be fought in heaven, so I ain't ready to go there yet. I'm still going to stay here and fight this fight, because this is where the fight's at, right here. When I get to heaven, you know, I mean, that's what's wrong with us as Christians, really, technically. When we sing this song, when the roll's called up yonder, I'll be there. Yeah, I ain't no doubt in my mind when the roll's called up yonder, I'll be there. But in the beginning, that first step up there, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We have not realized that, what we need to do. But we're in this war, and did you realize that King is up there in the third heaven waiting for his enemy to be made his footstool? He told you that in the book of Hebrews. Who's going to do that? You and I. We're going to make his enemy his footstool. We're going to put him under our feet. So he's attacking us every way he can. I mean, he even attacks us when he doesn't have legal right to us. He attacks us. And he's getting greater in these attacks to the church right now. Because he's trying to keep the church busy, trying to figure out how to stay well, instead of getting out and presenting the gospel to people and kicking the devil out of people and getting people set free. He's trying to keep us busy, keep us working, keep us doing everything we can so we're not getting the gospel out. Well, let me tell you, he knows we are a tremendous threat to him in this little ministry that we're in. I mean, when we pray for people and we send these teachings out, I had a woman at the healing school yesterday told me, she said, Mr. Scribner, when I got a hold of your teaching, she said, I have made and copied and duplicated your stuff, and I have sent it out to every friend and every relative, and she said, you have no idea how you've impacted just me and my friends and my families. You have no idea how your teaching has lit our fire. Well, just think, every one of those people that she sends those to, if they get a hold of it like she did, then there's another string of people. On every one of them in their sharing.
That's right.
Every one of them. So whenever we teach somebody something, then we have no idea how this thing explodes. But that's what God's called me to do in these last days. Faith. You're in a war. You need to get over this nonsense of when you get to heaven, the roll's called up yonder, I'll be there. If you're a believer, the roll, when it's called, you'll be there. But in the meantime, you got a war to fight on this earth. And these devils are out here, and they are killing, stealing, and destroying men and women on a day-by-day basis. And right now, it's technically only minutes away. I realize it's a lot of minutes in some of your book, but it's only hours away to one of the most devastating storms that's ever hit the United States is fixing to hit. Do you know Katrina is a full-fledged... I turned the TV on a while ago and looked at CNN before I left. It is a full-fledged Category 5, the highest there's ever been. Winds sustained at 175 miles an hour with gusts to 200 miles an hour. And that's going to hit New Orleans sometime in the next few hours. It's a mandatory evacuation of the entire city of New Orleans. A mandatory... by the government, you are to get out. This morning, as an engineer, I think in places that the average person don't think. But I used to have an operation that I built in New Orleans, right there in Kenner, Louisiana, right there at the airport. Lake Pontchartrain is right beyond it. a huge, gigantic lake that's miles. I think the bridge going across Lake Pontchartrain is 30 miles. Just a bridge. I know it's long. I know one thing. I didn't make that mistake but one time when I'm going up there. It says last exit. And I thought, no, right up there will be the place to get off. I didn't make that mistake but once. It took me a 60-mile round trip to get back. There ain't no turn throughs up there. When it says last exit, you better be paying attention to the signs if you go on that Lake Pontchartrain Bridge. Well, Lake Pontchartrain is up above the level of New Orleans. They got this huge dike. Now, the pressures, I know things don't mean a lot to a lot of people, but the pressure is normally 29.5 inches, barometric pressure. Well, that's on this side of that dam. Now, you got this huge pile of water on this side of this dam. Well, this pressure in this storm right now is 26. 26. If you lower the pressure on that dam 3.5 inches, it may not be able to hold the water on the other side. And if it ruptures that dike, I'm going to tell you the city of New Orleans is going to be no more. It's going to completely wipe out New York, if that happens. You know, people don't understand engineering terms, but just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, how that the lack of knowledge destroys us. I was teaching systems on an aircraft one time on a 727, and I made this statement to a man. I said, you know, all of the crew, all of the guys in the class, I said, now the book says never pressurize the airplane more than 1/8 inch PSI before takeoff. And one of the guys just spoke up and said, you know, I always pressurize 0.5 PSI. And I said, but sir, why? He said, well, it makes the transition from the nose wheel lifting off easier on people's ears. I said, that sounds very logical. Very logical. So I said, let me ask you this question. One day, because the book says, do not pressurize more than 1/8 inch PSI. He said, well, that's nothing. I said, that's right. That's nothing. It depends on how you measure it. I said, you go ripping down a runway one day and you're just at the critical point of no return, and bam, a big red light comes on and says, fire in number one engine. Now then, that's an automatic stop. And automatically, it cuts off all the electrical system in the airplane, and every pressurization valve slams shut. I said, you got that beast pressurized at 0.5 PSI. That don't sound like much, does it? He said, no. But I said, now then, all that 0.5 PSI is locked in that airplane, and you can't get it out. I said, so they stop the airplane. And you run up and try to open the door, and there's 3,600 square inches on that door. 3,600 square inches means that door weighs 1,800 PSI, 1,800 pounds of pressure. I said, can you pick up 1,800 pounds? He said, no way. I said, see, there's a madness. There's a method to their madness when they tell you don't pressurize more than 1/8 PSI before takeoff. You know, that's the way we live our lives as Christians. God says, don't sin, and you don't give place to the devil. So what do we do? Oh, we sin a little over here. We sin a little over there. We don't realize that when he says, don't sin at all. Oh, well, a little sin won't hurt me. Just like that guy, pressurized at 0.5 pound, it may never catch up with him. They may never have an accident. But if it ever does, guess what? You got an airplane load of people can't get out. And you got a roaring fire burning on the inside, and you got doors all over the place, and you flip them handles, and there ain't nobody can pick up 1,800 pounds. There ain't no three men on that airplane could pull that door open at 0.5 PSI. So see, when the books, as an engineer, when I learned these things and I taught these things, I taught these airplanes so precise that when I come to the Word of God, I thought the Word of God is just as important to be taught just exactly like the King said it. So if he says, don't sin, oh, Sharon, just a little sin won't hurt you. No comment.
Only hurt you for 30
Now then, how many of you in here besides me and Sharon has made that mistake? Sin just a little. Here or there, in whatever way. Every one of you have. But you know what? We need to learn from our mistakes. That's the thing. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. But did you know our faith is not going to work unless we do what God says? Now I'm going to tell you, there's probably going to be some people in New Orleans that's going to be dummies. And they're going to think they can outlive this thing. And there's going to be people that's not going to evacuate that city. Well, if there's anything I'm glad I don't have today, I'm glad I don't own any real estate in New Orleans. Because it's going to be worthless tomorrow. All I got to say, if you're a Christian and you own real estate in New Orleans, you better know how to walk in faith and you better be walking in love. If you are, then by faith, you can do something that the average person does not believe you can do. When you take this book, and if there's anything I have learned about this book is so powerful. I want to turn to just a couple of scriptures today, and I want you to see, I want you to turn to Mark 9. That's where we're going to start. I want to show you some of the things that God has showed us in His Word. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I praise You and I worship You and I thank You for this mighty Word. Father, help us to understand what it really means to live according to the Word. I am beginning to understand more every day what it means to walk in faith. What's possible when you walk in faith. Help us, Father, in the name of Jesus, to grasp these truths that You've written, that we may be able to walk where You want us to walk. And Lord, those of us that live through this time are going to have to know these principles. We can't fly our airplanes or our lives by guess. We've got to fly them by the book to the T, just like I taught those men all those years to fly those airplanes by the book, by the numbers, with no deviation. Now, Lord, help me to teach the church. They got to fly their life by this book with no deviations. We've got to walk holy in obedience to Your Word, and we got to believe it with no doubt in our heart. And when we do, then this is a victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith or our trust in this mighty Word. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 17 of chapter 9 of Mark, and one of the multitude answered, said, Master, I have brought unto You my son, which has a dumb spirit. Now, the first thing I want you to know, that when you have sickness or disease or you have a seizure or anything else, when anything happens to you, why is it today that we can't believe it's a spirit? Why do we believe, as Americans, supposedly the most educated people that's ever walked on the face of the earth, why are we so stupid? You know, why is it we have to have a scientific answer to believe that everything is a scientific answer and that we can't walk by faith and believe that there is a spirit world out there that's controlling us like the Word of God says? Why can we not believe this? Why do we have such problem believing that there's a set of spirits out here, invisible, that's controlling us, that's causing all sickness and disease and doing all kinds of devastating things to us, whenever it says that in the Bible, we believe in the kingdom of God? We're trusting our lives to an invisible Jesus that none of us have probably never seen. I've never seen him. I've heard his voice several times, but I've never seen the king. Now, some of you may have, but I have not. But I have heard his voice many times. Some of you may not have heard that voice. But look what he says. He had a dumb spirit. That was the boy's problem. That's your problem. And wheresoever he takes him, he tears him, and he foams, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he paineth or convulses away. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. We don't even go that far in the church today. You get somebody has a seizure like this and starts doing this in the church. I never was a member of a church that the pastor or anybody else would go over and start rebuking the spirit and commanding to come out. We just run to the phone and panic, call 911, and waited for the doctor to come. That's what we do. So these poor people 2,000 years ago was just a whole lot smarter than we are today in church. How do you regress that far in 2,000 years? I don't know, but it happened to me. 19, he answered him and said, "Oh, you faithless generation." If Jesus said that to these boys, I wonder what he would say to you and me. "Oh, you faithless bunch of wimps." I know it's what he'd say to me. "Oh, you faithless critter, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." People said, "Oh, but it's not God's will to heal. It's not God's will to answer my prayer." Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's already given you everything. You're praying for things every day that you don't have to pray for. He's already given it to you. It's yours. I can imagine how silly God must think we are when we go and start begging and pleading for him to give us something. And he said, "You know, if you'd only read my word, you already know that's yours. I've already given it to you." It's amazing what we do. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit, this invisible being, it tore him or convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and he wallowed foaming. Isn't it amazing what these things do to us? This is a spirit or an invisible being inside of a human being that's causing him to do all of these stupid things. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." Now, a demon wouldn't dare attack a little child. I mean, I had a preacher tell me that one day. "Thurman, you know, I mean, this little, you don't tell me a demon, even a demon wouldn't attack my little child." I said, "Sir, you got to get over this nonsense." I said, "You're thinking like a human being." But that demon, he's been given a job to do. And God, when he made those demons, he put no love in them whatsoever. And then when they're supposed to do something, they do it. I mean, if you have love and compassion in your heart, some of you, it depends on where you are. I mean, I can think of people in this room right here that if somebody said, "Oh, there's three little kittens out there, well, they're just abandoned. Just go out there and shoot them all three. You know, just kill them." Some of you would fall apart, do a back flip upside down. You'd give your life for them poor little kittens. And yet those same people, they give their life for them kittens. Somebody say, "Well, but I got pregnant out of wedlock." They said, "Just go down and have an abortion. Don't think nothing about killing a child." But they'd give their life for a cat. I know people like that. Do you? I know people like that. You think we don't have our priorities upside down? I mean, I think about the stupid whale and the dolphin and everything else. When they come in out here, there's people that are up in arms. You can't kill them dolphins. You got to do all. But them same people are killing and our babies right. No problem. You want to stop that? Man, they're up in arms, you know. It's my right. If I'm a woman, if I want to have an abortion, I'll have an abortion. It's not a human being. It all depends on where you are. But I'm going to tell you, because of that kind of stupidity is why what's coming to New Orleans. our wrong thinking. So because of these judgments, let's look. I don't know. You don't have to be a rocket scientist just in the last year to look what's happened to this world. Look what's happened. It's not just happening one or two places, is it? It's happening everywhere you look. I mean, devastating things. The tsunami wiped out stuff all over the world. Killed thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Florida has already had a couple of bad hurricanes. And now we got this terrible one that's coming right now. Katrina. Last night I turned the news on. I'm kind of getting interested in what's going on in the world a little bit. I never watch any television, but last night when I got home last night, it was, I don't know, 1 o'clock, 1:30 this morning, whatever it was. I'd been working on radio shows and everything else, taught a healing school all day yesterday, and then went and worked on radio shows till 12 o'clock, and then got everything together, I thought, you know, clothes and all the stuff and everything, and filled out the envelopes, done everything, and then got up, then finally got ready to come, and I drove right off, and I got Cheryl's clothes, I got my clothes, I got all kinds of stuff, forgot the box, forgot the envelopes, you know, and everything else, and then come in, and I watch a little news till 1:30 this morning or 2, and then I go to bed, and I wake up this morning thinking about Jesus and what's going on, and I get up and go and take a shower, and I go in, and I thought, well, Cheryl's getting ready, so I'll turn on a little bit of news and see where this hurricane is. Well, this 145-mile-an-hour hurricane last night, which was a full-blown Category 4, is now a full-blown Category 5 at 175 with gusts significantly above 175. I think, Lord, wow. And so, of course, then we get to halfway to church, and I told Cheryl, I said, well, I forgot the envelopes, and I forgot the donation box. She said, you're a real mess. She said, I'm going to have to make you a list. I said, well, then you're going to have to make me another list to remind me to get the list. When I get so involved in thinking about what's going on in the world, it's like I forget everything else. I mean, I know. I hope some of y'all understand. My heart is so heavy for the people of the world. But my heart is heavy for the church. The church is being beat up on every day by the devil, and we don't even recognize who this beast is. The sins that we in the church do separate us from God and from these mighty miracles of faith that is available to us. But I didn't know these things. But now I'm learning them. So I'm trying to teach them to you. Because I'm learning what you can do by faith. Just think, why is it that people pray for people? And I've seen this over and over and over. Somebody said, well, I called so-and-so and he prayed for me. And some things happened. And then I prayed, two people prayed for me and I got a little better. And then I found this other person, they prayed for me and I was instantly healed. What does it make the difference? It depends on where you're walking, where your love walk is, where your faith walk is. All those things, your knowledge of the Word, you're coming right up this ladder. I think about Don back there. The other day when I told the story about Gary getting instantly healed. Billy told Cheryl, I guess it was, that, well, Don's laying home. He fell and broke two ribs. So we need to pray for him. So Cheryl came right up here and asked me. And I first said, well, I'll pray for him after the service. And then I thought, no, what am I talking about? I don't want any of you waiting. I'll do it right now. And so we prayed right then. And Don's here today in virtually no pain, doing everything he wants to do. But yet he had two broken ribs. You know, so I'm telling you, prayer works. Prayer works, doesn't it? Prayers of faith really works. Well, let me tell you. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, I am completely convinced after I talked to Don that he's walking across a smooth concrete driveway to the mailbox to get the mail, and all of a sudden, he had his big cup and stuff that he drinks out of in the daytime or whatever in his arms, and walking across smooth ground with nothing to fall on, all of a sudden it's like he's fell forward, face forward, said something like a big hand pushed him down. He went down so hard and hit in that cup. Since he fell right on his chest, that cup, it crushed the cup, but it also broke two ribs. I am completely convinced the devil tripped him. The devil tripped him and put him on the ground and broke two ribs. Now, these are the kind of things the devil's going to try his best to do to you and me, because just like me, whenever I went out there and prayed that prayer of faith for that doctor, and the Lord completely healed that man instantaneously of three ruptured discs in his back, when I get back, I come under such demonic attack that I can't sleep. And then Sunday night, last Sunday night, when I go home from here, I'm sitting out there at the minister's center answering emails at 11:30 at night. I mean, while lots of you are sleeping. But praise God, I'm younger than most of you, so I can stay up longer than you can. Praise the Lord. But anyway, all of a sudden my leg began to burn like fire. My left leg. I thought, what is wrong with this? And so I reach over and pull my britches leg up and pull my left boot off and pull my sock off. And I'm telling you, my leg is on fire, and it looks like it's on fire. It's got big red places that are fixing to bleed blood red. And it's nearly all the way around my leg, and it's that long. Now then, you men and women of faith, your leg's on fire, and it's fixing to bleed, and it looks awful. And the devil, the minute you do that, he says, oh, look at those big red streaks coming up your leg. You have got blood poison. But yet, Sunday morning, when I tucked my shirt and put my socks on, I didn't have a mark on my leg. Not a mark or a pain. What happened from Sunday morning to Sunday night? I had an attack from the devil. That's what I had. He come to put me to the test. Did it make my faith waver? No. Not one time. I prayed the prayer of faith, rebuked the devil, commanded him to get his hands off of me, and went to bed Sunday night and slept. Cheryl didn't know I had this. So when she came to bed, I was already in bed. She came to bed and of course, there for a little while, until she gets comfortable, she flops over and tosses and turns and everything. And it just happened. I feel like the enemy was even guiding her feet. Because every time she flopped over, one of her feet would hit right on my big sore spot on my leg. And I'd kind of move over to one side, and she'd flop another way, and it'd hit there again. So after four or five times, I said, Lord, please guide her legs where they don't hit my legs. Put her to sleep, knock her out, or do something. It's amazing how you pray. But I did finally get to go to sleep, and then the next morning I woke up, and I thought, well, it don't feel bad. But you don't go by feeling. I said, honey, would you look at my leg and see what kind of shape my leg's in this morning? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, I had a little attack from the devil last night. Well, she said, what do you mean? I said, well, look at it. Just look at it and see if it looks okay. And, of course, I didn't look down there. She just pulled the cover up off my leg. And when she says, I knew it wasn't okay. I knew it wasn't okay. You know, at least it didn't look okay. And then guess what? The average pastor's wife today would have saw what she saw. Immediately she would have run to the telephone and made a doctor's appointment. But mine didn't do that. She began to beat on my leg and say, you devil of hell, come out of him in Jesus' name. I thought, woo, praise God for a woman of God. Praise God for a woman of God. Now see, these are the kind of things, this is the victory that we're going to have in these last days. We're going to have to learn who this devil is. And we're going to have to learn that through the power of our commands in the name of Jesus, we got power and authority over these kind of things. You know, you got to learn that, folks. You got to learn that. You got to stop yielding to what you see. Oh, Cheryl rebuked the devil over me. I mean, some people what might have said, you mean your wife's kicking the devil out of you? Yeah, let me tell you, that devil comes into me just like he does everybody else. He's the one that comes in to attack just like this little boy right here in Mark 9. This devil come in, and he was messing up my leg, and I mean he was messing it up big time. Well, all day. I mean, we rebuked, we did everything. So, I had all kinds of people. I called in my extra prayer warriors. I called in Ty and Eldon, and they all came out. And we rebuked that devil and prayed over my leg. I mean, it was all swelled up, you know, big. You know, couldn't hardly get my boot on. It looked bad. It really looked bad. But you don't go by what you see. So we continued to rebuke the devil. Lord, if I've done anything I don't know about, if I've repented anywhere, I repent. And Cheryl, she said, Lord, if I've done anything. I mean, that morning while she's driving that devil out there, commanding that devil, she said, Lord, if I've made any mistakes anywhere, I repent. I'm sorry. I repent. She said, I'll walk holy before you in obedience to your word. But then, boy, she's kicking that devil out of me. Well, we agreed in prayer. And that night they come out and we agreed in prayer. I'm telling you, we continued to say, devil of hell, you've got to leave. And I continued to work just like I always do. I didn't slack off. I didn't do nothing. I didn't prop my leg up. I didn't feel sorry for myself. I know I'm under a demonic attack. And then when Ayesha's mother calls, she said, is Thurman okay? She's in Canada. He said, well, yeah, Mom, I guess he's okay. What do you mean? She said, are you sure he's okay? Well, she said, all I know is that yesterday or Saturday morning, he said he had a headache, but said he finally got over the headache about 4 o'clock. She said, well, I knew it, because last night, Friday night, the Lord showed me in a dream Thurman is under a demonic attack directly from the devil. Well, let me tell you, God warns his people, you're under attack. Well, if I'm under attack, how much power do I have over the devil? Hey, and I understand what that means, to have all power over the devil. So, we continued to rebuke that devil. Everybody prayed for me. And I'm sure that Eldon and his wife, Nancy, and I'm sure that I know that Ty and Cheryl also has probably prayed and rebuked the devil over me. No telling how many times this week, even though they wasn't with me no more. Well, I'm telling you, this morning when I woke up, it's completely gone. Completely gone. No marks. Everything's perfect. Let me tell you, you got to learn who our enemy is. Just like right here in this scripture. Right here in this scripture, it says right there, Jesus said, he says, and they brought the little boy to him, and he saw, did what he did. And after he asked his father how long he'd been there, he told him. And then he says in verse 22, and oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. Now then, this is where you've got to get. Listen to Jesus' answer. If, biggest word in the book, if you have faith, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Name anything and I will do it for you. What is it we don't understand about that? But see, I learned those principles. And I can think of times when I would need to design a special piece of equipment for something. I would ask the Father. In fact, I can think of times standing in a truck shop needing a special latch. I just designed and built a platform because a couple of people had gotten hurt. And my director came to me and he said, Thurman, is there anything you think you might do under that truck where that on those little aircraft, the smaller aircraft, that we could have some kind of a safety guard underneath that door since it's so low we can't approach the door all the way up? We've had two people fall, and although it's only about 8 feet, but when you fall 8 feet to concrete below and you're not expecting it, you can get seriously hurt. And I told him, sure, I guarantee I can go to the king and he'll show me how to design something that would protect them. So I went to my office and went to the king and asked him, and he immediately gave me a little ramp on rollers and everything, how to do it, the whole nine yards. And I built one, we put it on there, and with a latch to hold it and hold it whole nine yards, and it just worked beautiful. Everybody was just so pleased with this little thing. This was the first one. So I'm fixing to go over to the other side of the airport to talk to another man about some business. And as I'm on the way over there, I'm thanking the Lord, praising him for this magnificent little ramp that he showed me how to fix, to put under there that'll work and all the things. And all of a sudden, I see an open vision. I mean, there's an airplane there, and a truck pulls up, and that little ramp comes out. And a guy gets out. He puts a big ramp over the top of it. And he walks in, caters an airplane, comes back out, and he's finishing, and he's getting through. He picks up his ramp, and he puts it on the platform, and starts to close the door. And when he does, the girl hollers at him and said, "I've got something else for you." So he comes back across. He doesn't put the big ramp back down. He steps across the little ramp and goes in the airplane and gets a box of stuff and turns around and goes back out and steps on the little ramp again. And she says something else to him. Well, it's real noisy out there. So he leans back to see what she said. And when he did, that ramp of them rollers slipped right out from under him. And as it went in, he folded up rear end first, went right down, fell butt first, right straight, folded up like a pocket knife, and hit right on his tailbone on the concrete 8 feet below. I said, "Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. You gave me the vision about how to build this thing, and I built it. Now then, somebody's going to get hurt on it, and I'm going to tell them you told me how to build it, and now they're going to say, well, if God's so smart, why did he let you do this?" So see, I turn around and go right back over there, and I'm drive right back up to the shop, and I'm standing, and I said, "Guys, we got a problem. Before this truck gets out, we've got to have some kind of safety latch on it that's going to hold it where nobody gets hurt." I said, "The Lord just showed me an open vision." Now, first of all, most people have a real problem with that. God shows you an open vision. Well, see, that's where your limitations of God is. You don't believe he can do these things. If you can believe, what did he say was impossible? If you can believe, all things you can do. Oh, you got to stop thinking like man. So I'm there looking at this platform. I said, "Lord, Father, in Jesus' name, how in the world am I going to build a latch on this thing that's foolproof, that don't never fail?" And all of a sudden, right before my very eyes, there it is. I said, "Lord, that's so simple." I was sitting there looking inside. I said, "Wow." I turned and grabbed me a sheet of paper, and I start penciling this thing in 3D. I get it completely drawn, and Bob comes over and he says, "What's that?" I said, "That's a latch we're going to put right there. And it's going to hold that thing. When it goes out, that's going to lock. And then when the guy gets ready to push it back in, he reaches up and just pushes it. It'll be counterbalanced, and it can't fail." He's looking at it. That's the simplest latch I've ever seen in my life. How many of you know God don't make a lot of things complex? He knows how to make things simple. We designed, after I drew that thing in 3D, I said, "Bob, can you build it?" He said, "Sure, I can." I said, "You build it and put it right there on that truck." He built it and put it on that truck. I come back the next day. He had that thing cut out and fixed and bolted on there and everything. And he said, "Thurman, that's as simple as latch. That's beautiful. It works perfect. That can't never fail." And let me tell you, that latch has never failed, and we've never had a person hurt. In fact, every catering truck in the world, I guess, now, on all these years, they've come back and put that same ramp on every truck, every airline out there that caters those little airplanes, got that ramp. And it's got that same latch. Isn't that amazing what God can do? How simple he can do it? Now then, if you can believe, what can he do for you? Why in the world do we go fighting and squabbling and trying to figure out how to do everything when everything is in you? All you got to do is pray. And he can reveal to you how to do anything. The name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, you have the name of Jesus to use in the business world. You have the name of Jesus to use in the scientific world. You have the name of Jesus to use in the spirit world. When you speak to a demon in the name of Jesus, that demon's got to change. He's got to do something. But when you speak to the scientific world, when you speak to the business world, I can think of one of the young men that's a computer programmer. He comes to this church. And he told me one day, he said, "Thurman, I'd never thought about those kind of things." And he said, "One day, I'd spent hours and hours and hours trying to find a bug in a computer software program." Well, let me tell you, I understand a little because I've written a little software myself. And I know if you get one little dot or tittle in the wrong place, that thing won't work. It cannot have a flaw in it. I mean, just like us out there. When Cheryl downloads the files, if somebody puts a comma somewhere, it stops right there. It won't download no further. You got to go back into that file and find that whatever comma or whatever and delete it. And when you do, then it'll work perfect. But all it takes is one character in the wrong place, and a computer program won't work. Well, you can look in those big computer programs a long time, and he had been looking, and he couldn't find it. And then he thought about what I said. So he prayed, asked the Father in the name of Jesus to show him where the problem was. And he said, in 5 minutes, I had it fixed. Now, God knew where the problem was at all the time. And I can see him there sitting there on over his shoulder. And I said, son, daughter, if you just ask me, I'd show you where it is. You don't have to do all this hard work. Just ask me, and I'll show you. But if you don't ask him, you don't get it. He wants to help you, but he will do nothing for you until you pray in faith. When you pray in faith and believe, what's possible? Start thinking like that. Just think, the average person, Christians, somebody says, you know, we went down to the living Savior, and I had a knot on my breast or a knot on my back or a knot on my ear, and Thurman prayed for me and it went away. And they said, now, wait a minute. It was just a coincidence. Is that the way we believe, Rosemary?
Unfortunately.
It's unfortunate. That's the way the church believes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or somebody calls Rosemary and says, Rosemary, I've got this problem. She said, well, good grief, let's pray about it. Oh, my gosh, that's one of the, I mean, she's one of them flaky Christians. She likes to pray about everything. And she prays, and then the next day, or maybe 5 minutes later, the problem's gone. And they called back and said, Rosemary, you ain't going to believe this.
Yes, I am.
But that's where we normally are, right? That why did they say that? Rosemary, you ain't going to believe this. You prayed, and my problem went away. You ain't going to believe this. What is wrong with us in the church? It's unbelief. Unbelief. Now then, turn back to Matthew, since we saw what Mark said. Turn to Matthew 17. And I'm going to tell you, we've got to start thinking like God. We've got to straighten our act up. We've got to walk holy before the King. We've got to start believing Him. In Matthew 17:14, it says, and when they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. And he's sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, oh, you faithless bunch. Oh, you faithless bunch. And you perverse. In other words, are we perverted or not? You perverse bunch. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And Jesus, no. What did Jesus do? He rebuked the spirit. When's the last time when somebody got sick in your house, you went over and laid your hands on them and said, come out of them, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. When you get a hold of that, that's what you'll do. You'll do it. That's exactly what Cheryl did to me the other morning when she looked at my foot, when she jumped back. I mean, this is what I think about. Just like a little bulldog. A little bulldog runs up there, and who knows what it is, some kind of ferocious critter jumps out at that little bulldog. That little bulldog jumps back for 1 second, and then he regains his composure, and he opens his mouth, and he says, "Row!" And he's after him, and he's got him. And I mean, he gets a hold of him, and he ain't turning loose, and he shakes that thing, and he kills that critter. Well, that's kind of like my honey bunny. She was that ferocious bulldog the other morning. She got a hold of me. I mean, she's grabbing a hold of my leg. She's knocking that devil out of me. She said, you devil of hell, you ain't having my husband in the name of Jesus. You coming out of him. When we learn to fight the battles like that, when you men and women, when you get a hold of that, when you start fighting these battles like that, that's whenever that devil, when he attacks us, instead of going to the doctor with 911 and spending a whole bunch of money, and all that kind of stuff, you can stand in a matter of hours or a few days when you've got somebody that's got that kind of strength in the Lord to kick them devils out. I'm telling you, you will never have to go to another doctor. You can believe Jesus. I mean, you know, we don't go by what we see no more. Cheryl's seen God do so many wonderful things since she's come into my life. I mean, she's become a faith woman. Praise God. That's what I wanted. I wanted a faith woman. I didn't want some wimp. I wanted a woman. I wanted a woman that was a bulldog. I wanted a woman that can show her teeth. You know, when that devil raised it, I want them teeth showing, don't you? I want her to get a hold of that beast. You know, kick him out of me in the name of Jesus. And boy, that's what she was doing the other morning. That's where we're going to have to get. We've got to realize that when we must fight these battles together. But the Lord says here, when he says, calls us a pervert and a bunch of faithless people, it's Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. What's the problem in the church today? Unbelief. How do you get rid of unbelief? Prayer and fasting. Can you imagine grown men that can you imagine a grown man that would take time to spend with God alone instead of watching a football game on Sunday afternoon? Oh. You want to know why there's not much power in the church? When you go over to a Christian's house, he's got the Dallas and the Fort Worth paper sitting there, scattered all over 9 couches, and a huge television in front of him, and he's sitting there with his feet propped up, and every time there's a commercial, he's reading the newspaper. And then as soon as he comes, he throws that newspaper down, he says, go get them, boys! And you want to know why there ain't no power in the church? And the devil walks in, he said, well, I'm going to get you. Well, let me tell you, when he walks in, he got you. There ain't no power. I don't care if you're watching the New Orleans Saints or the Dallas Cowboys or whoever you're watching. There ain't no power in that television set unless it comes from God. And if you hide the junk of the world in your heart and you read that Dallas newspaper, that Fort Worth newspaper, or any other kind of book, if you won't spend time with God in this book, you won't never have the power I'm talking about. You know, I don't know how many people at the healing school yesterday asked me, I want you to lay hands on me and pray. I want the same kind of anointing you got. I want to do what you do. I said, God's no respecter of persons. And I'll pray and ask him to give you revelation and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But I'm going to assure you, I am not going to lay my hands on you and pray for you. You walk out and do the same things I do until you've studied this word like I've studied it. God just don't share his power like that. You know what we are? We're a bunch of wimps. We want to come in and say, lay hands on me and I can do the same thing you can do. Okay. I lay hands on you. So you go home and you plop your feet up on your nice big couch and turn your TV on and you're sitting there watching. And you're not even watching nothing about Jesus. You're watching a soap opera. You're watching a football game. Or you're watching How to Build Something or whatever. And then somebody calls and said, hey, we need prayer. You say, oh, yeah, wait a minute. Let me put the TV down just a little where I can still hear the TV and talk to you at the same time. Forget it. If you want to see God do something great, turn off the television set. Turn off the newspaper. Turn off the magazines. Get in this book in prayer and fasting. Now, wait a minute. Fasting, Thurman? Does that mean I can only have 2 tubs of popcorn between meals? No, that's not what that means. Fasting in prayer means you eat and nothing and only drink water. That's what fasting and prayer. But don't do it unless you're studying the Word and praying. Don't just go without food. It won't do nothing for you. It'll help you lose about 1 pound a day, you know. But as soon as you quit, if you go 21 days, you'll lose 20, 21, 22, 23 pounds. But as soon as you quit doing that, start back eating it, I guarantee you'll come right back where you was. It don't take no time to gain. I cannot believe how quick I could gain 20 pounds back. I mean, it's like it took 20 days to lose it. But I guarantee in less than 20 days, I gained it back. You know, but I've come back to a level where I want to be is 170 pounds. That's where I want to be. So I speak to my body and I tell my body, body, you will maintain yourself at 170 pounds. You will not eat above that. If you try to eat above that, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus, and you will not put more in you than that. You will not gain above 170 pounds. So whatever it takes to eat, to do that, that's where I want to be. And that's where I'm going to be, in the name of Jesus. Because the king says there, they says, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith. Now people say, you know, now what if I don't have faith? Well, he's giving you the answer. I've had a lot of people tell me, now Thurman, are you going to tell me because I don't have any faith I didn't get healed? Well, I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you have faith, how do you get faith? Reading, hearing, speaking, talking the Word. It don't come no other way. Can I go over and pray over you and anoint you so that you can have this great faith? Nope. That's not scriptural. I can ask God to give you revelation and wisdom and understanding and knowledge as you read and study it. But I'm going to tell you, the midnight oil, night after night and day after day of staying in this Bible, studying it and reading it, waking up in the morning, talking to Him. I mean, this morning, I don't know what time I woke up this morning, but I never did have to have my alarm go off, I can tell you for sure. I lay there this morning, the minute I opened my eyes, I began to thank and praise the Lord for that beautiful sun outside. I begin to thank Him and praise Him for the beautiful things He does. I begin to thank Him and praise Him for the anointing He's placed upon me. I begin to thank Him and praise Him for all these wonderful things He does. And I praised Him and worshiped Him and thanked Him until I finally decided to get up. When I finally restored and got my alarm clock, it was even before the alarm was supposed to go off then. So then I got up, went in, took a shower, and worshiped and praised the King. Came here, set up the chairs, went in there and sat there and worshiped and praised. Read, talk to the Lord until time to come to out here. I want God to do something. And if I don't spend any time with Him, He don't do nothing. But if I spend time with Him, He does something. Now He says there, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, if you have that kind of faith, in other words, what happens to a grain of mustard seed when you plant it? Does it stay little bitty? No, it germinates. And when you water it and fertilize it, what does it do? Does it stay little bitty? No, it grows, doesn't it, Katie? It grows, and it gets big. And if you keep watering it and fertilizing it, how many of you, if you've ever raised a garden, went out there, and if you put seed in every year and fertilized and watered and nothing ever came up, you'd stop planting a garden, wouldn't you? When you plant, I think about the teeny little seed of an okra. You put that tiny little okra seed in the ground, and that thing comes up and becomes a little tiny shoot, then a little stalk. And I've seen okra stalks that tall. And they got okra pods all over them. And you can take one of those things, and you can go out there, and you can cut okra off of one or two of those every day, almost. One tiny little seed made all that. You can feed a family off of just, you can take a couple of dozen okra seeds and plant you a row of okra, and you can raise enough okra to feed a dozen people. I mean, it's amazing what happens. But you got to keep the weeds off of it, and you got to fertilize it and irrigate it and water it. And when you do, I mean, you know, the other day when Cheryl and I went out to Salt Lake, she saw an organic garden out there, and she walked through that garden, and she pulled fresh carrots and washed them off and eat them, fresh tomatoes and all that stuff. And I mean, they had cabbage out there that big around. We come back, she said, we're going to have a garden. I said, okay, who's going to weed it? She said, not me. I said, oh, okay. She said, I love to go out and pull the stuff and eat it. I said, oh, everybody loves to pull the stuff and eat it. But before you get to where you can pull and eat it, it takes some work. And that's the part that nobody wants to do. Nobody wants to go out and, you know, dig up the ground. You know, pulverize it and plant the seeds and water it and fertilize it and irrigate it and all that stuff. I know Sherry and Dave this year has done that over at their place. they've decided to, I went over here a while back at their house, and I'm looking at, man, they got garden all over the place out there. I mean, there's things everywhere. And of all that work, now all of a sudden, those big old cantaloupes are, they're good, aren't they, Sherry? Oh, yeah. You go out there in the garden, get you a couple of them things, cut them up, clean them up. Man, you got them beautiful, tasty cantaloupes. But you know, they just walked out there and throwed a seed out one day, and then went out there one day, and it just happened. Oh, it didn't work like that. No, not quite. But see, that's exactly what this seed that he's talking about here. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you got to take that grain of mustard seed, you got to sow it, you got to fertilize it, you got to irrigate it, and you got to take care of it. And if you do, then this is what will happen. If you have that kind of faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain. Now you're going to start saying unto things. And when you say, your speaking is the most important thing you have. Your tongue is either your best friend or your worst enemy. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, to think that this has been in this book 2,000 years, and I was in church all of my life, and why is it we never talk about these kind of things in church? The church I was in never talked about these kind of things. I never heard these things in church. What is wrong with us? I don't know. But do these things work? They do for me. They do for me. They do for you, don't they, Gloria? They work for Gloria. They work for me. And some of you in here know they work for you too. But sometimes they don't work the way you want them to work. And guess why they don't? Because we don't spend that time with God. We got to spend that holy time with the King. If you will spend that time with the King, you will worship Him, praise Him, thank Him, read His Word. Then when you go to the throne of grace, He hears your prayers. He said He hears the prayers of the righteous. And He answers them. I love it when He does that. I think about this young boy, you know, that his mother and dad said they had been learning these things. And they prayed for their son instead of taking him to the doctor. And he got a little better. But he still wasn't well. And so they brought him to me, and I prayed one prayer, and God instantly healed him, and the next day he's playing basketball. I think about those two young men that was up in Chicago over a year and a half ago that was down in their back. One of them was the sin of unbelief. That's all it takes. The sin of unbelief. It's unbelieving the promises of God. Is that sin? What does God call it if you don't believe His promises? He says you have an evil heart of unbelief. Now, if God sees you as an evil heart, you think He's going to answer your prayer? No, He said those people didn't even get to enter His rest. That's scary. But whenever I got that boy to repent of his sin of unbelief, will God forgive you? Yes, He will. That's a beautiful part about God. And then when I prayed the prayer of faith for him, he was instantly healed of a back injury. And then a couple of weeks later, with a second one, whenever they called, this boy had another sin, a little bit different than that one. But when I got him to repent of his sins and prayed the prayer of faith for him, he was instantly healed. Now, why is it that I have had such great, great results with back injuries? I don't know with all these faith levels. I'm just still learning. I mean, I think about Dawn back here today. Whenever Billy heard what happened last week, she wanted Dawn. Now, see, this is a woman. This is the way every mate should be. As soon as she heard that, she said, well, I got a husband laying home with two broke ribs. Let's pray for him. Now, is that where we should go? I know they'd already prayed. There's no two ways about it. I know Dawn and Billy had already prayed. But does it help to get a little bit stronger prayer warrior than yourself to pray the prayer of faith with you? Sure. In other words, that's kind of like if one of us, let's put it like this. This is the kind of the way I see this. Let's say I've got a rope over a pulley, one rope going over one pulley, and the ratio is 1-1. I have no mechanical advantage. I just have one rope over one pulley. So I got a 500-pound weight over here, and I need to pick it up so we can run a wheel bar under it to move it. Now, if I weigh 170 pounds, can I pick that up on a one-to-one? Ain't no way. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care if you can bench press 500 pounds. You can't pick that up, can you?
That's right.
You can't, because the mechanical advantage is one-to-one like that. Now then, I don't care if you can't pick up but 50 pounds. If I take a person that can pick up 50 pounds and one that can pick up 500 pounds, well, let's just say the block weighed 300. Let's say the block weighed 300 pounds. All right, this man can bench press 500 pounds. He's got arms on him like rocks, but he weighs 200 pounds, and the weight laying it weighs 300 pounds. And I come along and I weigh 170. Can he and I together pick up that block? That block weighs 300. He weighs 200, and I weigh 170. We got a mechanical advantage of a rope going over a pulley one to one. Can a 200-pound and a 170-pound man pick up a 300-pound block? Absolutely, we can. Can either one of us do it by ourselves? Nay, no way. That guy can bench press. I mean, he can bench press 500 pounds. No problem. But he can't pick that block up on a one-to-one mechanical advantage, I guarantee, because that's just the laws of physics. That's the way they work. So now then, if one of us comes to a faith level here, and we pray, and certain things happen, and we got another man over here that's got another faith level, we're trying to obtain a certain level in the spirit world, which we don't know what it is, but one or two of us are praying and nothing happens, and we get that third one in, and all of a sudden, bam, it happens just like that. Together, we are stronger than we are by ourselves. That's why a wise man seeks the counsel of many wise men. And whenever you have a problem, there's going to be times you're going to be able to pray for somebody and something will not happen. But if you may be the instrument that, let's say that you go to a hospital and somebody been sick and afflicted. Maybe you're not a person of great faith, but you're pretty high up in your faith. And say 10 people have been by and prayed for this woman and she's sick. And as far as we can tell, nothing has happened. But let's say that 11th or 12th person comes in and pray for a toucher, and instantly she's healed just like that. What happened? The faith of the bunch, the accumulation of all the faith, has finally overcome the forces of darkness. The forces of darkness left, and when they did, the person is miraculously healed. That's just like going to war. When you go to war, sometimes, well, let's put it this way. When we were in Vietnam, and just like the guys in the Gulf right now, very rarely will those guys go out, one or two men by themselves, to do anything. Why? Because one or two, you're not very powerful. You can be carrying a bazooka that's got a nuclear weapon in it, and one guy can take you out with a penknife if he catches you at the right point. But if there's 50 of you, that can't happen. That will not happen. But you have to have many with you. And the more of us together that bind together, when the Lord says, "And these signs shall follow those or them that believe." He didn't say these signs will follow Thurman. He didn't say these signs will follow Gloria. He said these signs shall follow them. So when we take a group of us together and learn how to walk in faith together, I'm going to tell you we can get a whole lot more done walking together in faith than we can trying to walk alone by ourselves. There's power in numbers. And we're coming upon a time right now. We're coming upon a time where we're going to have to bind together as the church. I'm going to tell you, I am looking for things to happen, and maybe even so quick. It may even begin to happen so quickly, I don't have any idea what really is going to happen. But I just feel in my spirit something is fixing to start happening in the world. I mean, I think about them moving them people, them Israelite people out of Gaza. I mean, God give that to the people. And here we're taking it away from them. I mean, that's another reason I think that right now, because this hurricane is so big and so powerful, I believe that's a direct result that God is unhappy because He says, okay,
If y'all were going to take 20,000 people that I've put there and I've give that land to them, if you want to do that, let's see how the city of New Orleans fares when I send a 200-mile-an-hour hurricane to blow the bugger away. You want to destroy 20,000 homes over there that I've let it rain? It was nothing but sand and rock. And my people moved in there, and I let it start raining, and I started an air gate, and they've made a garden place out of that place and put beautiful homes. And now you want to give that back to my enemy, the devil. He said, okay, go ahead, America. If you want to get involved with it, let's just go ahead and do that, and I'll bring a storm on the coast of America, and let's just see what happens. And see, God, you know what God said in His Word? People said, that can't be. Let me tell you, God says, if anybody blesses my people, Israel, I will bless them. If anybody curses my nation, Israel, I will curse them. Now, that's a curse that was spoken that's forever ongoing. If there's anybody you don't want to speak evil about, it's a Jew. He might speak evil about me and you. We're in the church, but he told us not to do that too. But it's a whole lot safer to talk evil about me than it is the Jewish nation. You need to learn how to control yourself. Because I am completely convinced that what's happening is because we're moving the Jewish people out of their land. 20,000? Who knows? We move 20,000 out over there, and it may cost us... Who knows? Who knows? But if there's ever a time we need to pray for Jerusalem, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm telling you, now's a good time. But I believe you're going to see things happen this year beyond our wildest imagination. I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. I'm just telling you, you need to pay attention. You better learn how to walk by faith. Because faith is what's going to overcome the world. If you don't learn how to walk by faith, first of all, the devil is very upset. And when the devil starts attacking me like he did this last week with symptoms that I had, which I've never had before. Never have I had these kind of attacks. But I had to fight this week, and I had to call in some big prayer warriors with me, my friends. I had to call some in. And I'm going to tell you, when you come under an attack and you look at your leg and look like mine did, I don't want a wimp praying for me. I want somebody that knows who they are in Christ. I don't want somebody to come in and say, oh, gosh, Thurman, that looks bad. We better get you to the doctor. I don't want you praying for me. Forget it. Get out. I want somebody that does what Cheryl did the other morning since she woke up. Attack me like a hound dog, you know. It looked like, it's like she was a hungry hound dog and looked down at that leg bone and it was ready to be eaten, man. I mean, she was after that. I mean, praise God for a woman like that. Isn't that right? Praise God for a mate that's like that. I mean, she was after that thing. She was going to kick that thing out of me. And all of us together did. Now, that's the way every one of us need to be. You need to learn that your enemy is not your mate, but your mate is coming under attack from the enemy, and we need to learn how to kick that devil out of us and walk holy before God. Good grief. It's already 4:00. Well, let me ask this question. I know there's 2 or 3 of you got testimonies. I'm going to close, but before I do, I'm going to give you... I know this little lady down here about to bust. She's got something she wants to say. For the last 30 minutes, she's going to bust, so I'm going to have to let her say whatever she wants to say. What do you got to say, honey? What happened? What did Jesus do for you?
Well, I fell on my knee, and it's already messed up, but I got back up, and I was thinking, stupid devil, go away. And I've been walking on it and everything the whole week.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I knew she had a testimony she wanted to tell. All right. Anybody else got another testimony? Somebody got a... Jim, you got one you want to tell? Anybody got a testimony? Come on up here. We'll let you tell it, and then we'll... Go ahead, sir.
Y'all, somebody know that I've been an instructor at Lincoln Tech, teaching these young guys how to work on a car. And the Word says, if any of you lack wisdom and knowledge, let him ask, you give it bountifully. Well, I get up to my board, and I forgot before I started my class to go out in the hall and pray, because I needed that. I'm kind of new at this, and I've done it all my life, but I haven't teaching people. I mean, I need the techniques, and it needs to come out of your mind. And I'm kind of quiet, but I started to do something on the board, and I went, uh-oh. Then nothing was coming out. And I just said, excuse me. And I went out in the hall, and everybody just sat there waiting on me. I said, Lord, I need to And I went back in there and I started drawing the stuff. And stuff started to come out of me. I went, where did that come from? I knew where it come from. I mean, and stuff started making more sense to me. It's something I knew and understood. And it was just like it went on past that point.
Amen.
And I started drawing that. I went, wow. I understand that more than I ever had before.
Amen.
It was quite amazing. I give God praise and glory for it.
Amen. That's what God will do. I mean, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus works in the business world. The name of Jesus works in the scientific world. The name of Jesus works in the spirit world. Use that name.
That's right. Praise God. This is both testimony and report. Report for those of you who... I'm sorry, I take this back. Report for the church here and for the pastor of the money that you people were giving me to send it home. I left it outside the things they have sent, photographs, because I came late. And I knew, I didn't know I was coming here. So I left it outside there for next Sunday. Next Sunday I will put the pictures there for anybody to see. That money is doing wonders already. Those people have gone to far places where there had never been churches. And they had been baptizing a lot of people. They baptized one chief and one police chief, and miracles were taking place, and they are doing great.
Amen.
And just recently, I sent some money, and some of the money was given by, I think, by my lawyer. And I just sent that money, and he bought spare parts for a motorbike that he's going to use to move all over the place visiting these churches. And now they are ready to build churches. You know, the country was in war. Peace had just been signed. Unfortunately, the leader died. But the peace is going on. And they want to begin to build. But you see, during the war, there was no work, no money, nothing. So they are asking us to pray for miracles to happen, for more financial assistance to buy grass. We don't use things you use here. We use local materials, grass, wood, bamboos, and things like that. And you will see the kind of thing I'm talking about next Sunday. And you will also see the people who were being converted in places that didn't know about Jesus. And I'm so glad those bicycles are doing great.
Amen.
And I believe we will send more bicycles, and God willing, we will send even money for better transportation, so that better work will be done.
Amen.
And I want to say thank you very much for the assistance you people are giving individually and as church. It's working. You will see the result. And I'm so glad my pastor is talking about even the business world, because God is controlling everything. And if you want him to get involved in whatever it is, it works. I was with him the other day, and I told him, please pray with me. And he prayed. I'm so glad to say things are moving. And I think one day I will give a testimony to the glory of God as a result of the prayer we have prayed together. Every time we agreed together and we prayed here, something happened.
Amen.
And it will continue to happen in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Benjamin. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Anybody else got a testimony? Yep. We got two or three. Okay. You got one? Tell us right quick, and then I'll let Gloria tell hers. And
my faith's getting higher, and I can't even remember all of them this week. Isn't that neat?
Amen. Yeah. Praise the King.
Have you ever painted yourself in a corner? Well, I painted a hutch, and I painted three heavy reinforced drawers, and I made the mistake of shutting them before they were dry. And I said, okay, God, please help me get these drawers open. I mean, they're loaded. And I pulled, nothing happened. I mean, the whole thing was going to come on. So I said, okay, God, please give me a miracle, because who am I going to call, you know? And then I said, and I thank you. I'm learning that. The more I thank him, the more he does for me.
Amen.
So I thank him right away. Nothing happened. I said, okay, God, I see this is going to be an awesome miracle, and I really do thank you for it. And I pulled on those drawers, and all three of them came out. Amen. And he's been doing that all week for me because I'm there by myself. You know, I don't have an engineer.
Praise the Lord.
You know? But I have angels.
Amen.
And I have the prayer. And I just want to say that I have finally got that through my head, that the more you thank God like
Amen.
He does.
Amen.
Praise it comes faster.
Amen.
So I'm learning.
Praise the
Thank
King.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise, yes, you. Praise the King. Praise the King. Praise the King. And I've got, as soon as Glory gets through, I just happen to think of one thing I want to tell you, too. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This particular thing happened to me the same morning that Thurman had got attacked, because he was telling us about it last week, that Saturday morning where he had the splitting headache. And this has never happened to me. The same Saturday morning, I woke up. You know, I opened my eyes. I was lying in bed. I was on my back, and I woke up. And I got ready to get out of bed. You know, I'm just, you know, praising God. And I got ready to get out of bed, and I couldn't move. I couldn't move. Nothing has ever happened to me like this. And I said, Lord, did I do something wrong? The pain from right here, from my neck, all the way down, especially in my back, I couldn't move. It was, you know, women in here that's had a baby, they know how that type of pain is. It was worse than that. And I couldn't move. And I laid there for a few minutes, and I said, Lord, have I done anything wrong? If I've said or done anything wrong, I repent right now and ask you to forgive me. And I tried to move to get up out of the bed, and I couldn't. The pain in my back was so strong and so excruciating that I could not move. And I thought about Thurman when he said, you know, when the devil hit him in the back and he couldn't move, that's the first thing came to me. And I said, devil, no, you're not going to keep me in this bed. And I got up, I couldn't move, and I started praying right there. I started rebuking the enemy, and I took authority over him, and I told him, what is it about the word you don't understand? I am healed by Jesus' stripes. He was beat to pieces for me, and you will not, you demon of pain. I commend you right now in the name of Jesus. I'm going to rise up out of this bed. I'm going to get up out of my house, and I'm going to do the things that I always do. And I started moving just a little bit, and it was still there. Still there, I couldn't hardly move. But I kept speaking the word of God and taking authority in the name of Jesus, and I got up out of the bed. Well, I got up and started moving around the house. I went downstairs, and I got in my car, and I left, and I still could barely move around. And I stood, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Satan, the blood has defeated you. And I demand you right now to let me go. I know who I am. And I demand you now to loose me. And just like that, I was able to
loose
me. Well, right after that, I've been doing a lot of praying and doing some fasting. And the enemy started trying to attack me again. And I said, and I know I wasn't doing anything wrong. So I knew what was going on. And even last night, I couldn't sleep a couple of nights. I couldn't sleep. And I kept feeling something right here in my stomach. And I said, I know I haven't done anything wrong. I said, I'm going to take authority. This is not going to, the devil has been trying to get me to stop praying for people. And I know that because the Lord revealed it to me. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this right now. And I said, you are going to leave me. You're going to leave me right now. And I said, I'm going to sleep good tonight because, Lord, you say that you give it your beloved sweet sleep. And I say, Father, I thank you for sweet sleep tonight. I'm going to lie down and I'm going to go to sleep. And I got up. But see, it's just like Thurman saying, we as people of God, we better learn how to walk by faith.
Amen.
Because you're not going to be able to get to someone or get to a doctor. You're going to have to act upon the word of God. Hold fast to your confession because Jesus is the apostle and the high priest of what we confess with the word of God. And the Bible said he's faithful that promised. And he's faithful to heal us anytime we're under attack. We take authority, stand on the word of God, act up on the word because we already got it. We already have faith. We just need to act on what we got.
Amen.
Take authority and stand. And God, he'll bring it to pass. He's faithful to that promise. He is not a liar. If we believe the book just the way it's written, God will make it good.
Amen. Praise the King. Glory. Woo.
Wow, what a woman of faith, huh? Praise God. That's what every one of us need to get to. One last little statement I want to tell you before we close with a song. I got an email this week, and I had never heard of this National Do Not Call line. Does anybody here know what the National Do Not Call line? Okay, there's some. Rosemary does, some of you do. I didn't know what that was. But I have now understood that within the next few weeks, they're going to release all the cell phones to telemarketers. So if you have a cell phone, do you know that takes a minute off of your cell phone every time they call you? And you're going to pay for those phone calls. So this National Do Not Call line, you can call them, and if you call them from your cell phone and you tell them, this is the phone that I want blocked, then they will put you on their list. And if you have one at home that you're getting these phone calls on all the time and you don't want it, you can also call and give them that number, and within 30 days, you'll stop getting those phone calls at home. They will take your number off of the telemarketing people's deal. So when a computer calls, and you know, on a cell phone, it's not so bad at home because it don't cost you anything. But on a cell phone, it does cost you. So you call this telemarketing, or this not telemarketing, but this National Do Not Call line. And I wrote the number down to bring it with me, and again, I forgot it too. So, you know, I forgot lots of things today, unfortunately. But if you call that number, I'll try to bring it next week. But if you know about that, or you go to their website, I think it's just National Do Not Call, I think is the name of their website, or Do Not Call, whatever. But anyway, you can tell them over the website or whatever, and when you give them your number, they will block your phone from the telemarketers for 5 years. So for 5 years, you won't be called by a telemarketer. And so, you know, like I say, it's bad enough at your home when you go home and you got 4, 5, or 6, or 8 phone calls today, you know, on your voicemail, and it was all somebody wanting to sell you something. But on your cell phone, if they call you 4 or 5 times a day and it takes a minute or 2 or 3 every time, it's not long. That could add up to some serious costs to us as the body of Christ. Now then, I am completely convinced it makes no difference how much money you've got. God expects you to be a good steward of what He's given you. You know, so that's just the way I am. I believe that I am supposed to take everything God gives me in the ministry, and I'm supposed to use it for His glory. I'm not supposed to waste anything anywhere. And so that's why we do what we do. We don't want to waste any of God's money. So anyway, we're going to sing a song. What song are we going to sing, James?
We'll magnify the Lord.
We'll magnify the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's stand and sing this song.